And the Bible reads, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you for this church you've given us and every soul here right now, Lord. We just pray that you fill Brother Hernandez with your Holy Spirit right now as he preaches unto us your word, Lord, and just give us in the congregation ears to hear to the message that the preacher has prepared for us, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. First of all, I just want to thank Pastor Mejia for this opportunity to preach. It's always a privilege to do so. And you're there tonight in James chapter 4. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." And the title of the sermon this evening is The Dangers of Overthinking. The Dangers of Overthinking. And here in this passage we see, you know, there's a lot of people today, before I get to this, actually, there's a lot of people today that aspire to do a lot of things, you know, in the future and make a lot of plans. And they fail to realize that our life on this earth is very short. You know, the Bible says that our life on this earth is as a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanisheth away. And that's just, you know, the reality of it. You know, we don't have a lot of time on this earth, and we should make the most of it. And we should plan, of course, for the future. But as the Bible says, you know, we need to stop and think at times, you know, if the Lord will, you know, we shall live and do this or that. It's only by the grace of God, you know, that we're able to live another day. And we have to always remember that every breath that we take, even the next, you know, our very next breath is in the hand of the Lord. And so we can't get fixated on the future. You know, we can't always just be planning and making all these decisions, you know, of things that we want to do. We have to keep in mind, you know, if the Lord will, then we're going to be able to accomplish that. But tonight, I just want to preach on the subject of overthinking, because at the same time, there are a lot of people that plan and are very ambitious, but, you know, they overthink, right, a lot of the things that they want to do. And they worry too much about what's going to happen in the future. They worry too much, you know, where am I going to be in 10 years? Or who am I going to get married if you're single? Or, you know, what job am I going to have? How am I going to provide for my family? And they worry about all these things that to the point where they just stress about it. They, you know, they're anxious. They have anxiety. A lot of times this leads to depression. And all because they're just overthinking and not trusting in the Lord. And then at the same time, people not only think about the future, the unknown future, but they overthink about things in the past. You know, previous mistakes that they've made. You know, bad decisions, poor decisions, you know. They overthink about sins that they've committed. And a lot of people, you know, because of this, they're not able to move forward. They're not able to live a normal life because they're always stressing about it. They're always overthinking. Now, go to your Bibles to Psalms 39. Psalms 39. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 90. The Bible says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thy anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And here we see that the Bible says, you know, at most, you know, a lot of us here are going to live up to 70 years. And if you're strong and for reason of strength, you're going to make it up to 80 years. And we need to learn how to number our days, you know, how to make our days count on this earth. Because again, we don't have a whole lot of time. And if we want to make our days count, we have to incline our, you know, our hearts, apply our hearts unto wisdom so that we can make the right decisions. But if you're constantly overthinking, you know, instead of going to the Bible, you're just going to, you know, you get stuck in your thoughts. You're going to constantly, you know, like stress about what's going to happen instead of trusting in the Lord. Now I say you go to Psalm 39, look down at verse number 4. The Bible says, Lord, make me to know my end, and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. And so we see here that, you know, again, our days are very few on this earth. And the Bible says that we have to, you know, keep in mind how frail we are. And a lot of times I think about this verse because, you know, when we're healthy, when we're good, when we're strong, we don't really think about, you know, what can go wrong. You know, we take it for granted, our health, a lot of the times. And it's not until you get a cold or you get like a fever, you get the chills, and you realize, you know, I'm actually pretty frail as a human being. You know, you feel weak, you feel tired, you're not able to move as you would like if you're sick. And then at that moment, you realize, hey, I'm pretty frail. You know, I'm pretty weak. And if it's not for the Lord that gives me strength, I can't do anything in this life. Now go to your Bibles to James chapter 1. And like I said, people often overthink, and I think this is a big problem today, just because of, you know, a lot of people have anxiety today, a lot of people have depression, a lot of people have panic attacks, a lot of people just stress over the little things in life, and a lot of times they stress about really dumb things. And, you know, people overthink, as I was saying earlier, about the future, the unknown future, and then they dwell too much in the past and the mistakes that they've made. And then this is often referred to as paralysis of the analysis. You know, I'm going to define to you what that means. And when I looked it up, this is a definition that a guy says, that analysis paralysis is a colloquial phrase used to describe the feeling of being unable to make a decision due to overthinking a problem. This often happens when you're dealing with too many variables and continually researching solutions instead of taking action and making decisions. And as Christians, you know, we need to learn how to make decisions. We can't be double-minded. We can't constantly be tossed to and fro. We need to learn how to make decisions based on what the Bible says. And if you're there in James chapter 1, look down at verse number 5. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the point I'm trying to get across this evening is that we can't be double-minded when it comes to the decisions that we make in this life. And if you're double-minded, often it's the result of just overthinking very basic things. You know, today we have a lot of choices when it comes to, you know, where we want to eat, where we want to live, you know, what church you want to go to. You know, today I happen to go to Chipotle because Brother Cody, you know, tempted me with that. So I went to Chipotle. But, you know, even in that plaza, how many choices do we have, right, to eat? You have the choice to, you know, live wherever you want. You have the choice to go to whatever church you want to go to. There's so many choices, and a lot of times people just get paralyzed because there's too many options. Now, before I get into the sermon itself, let me just, by way of introduction, just give you a couple of things or some of the most common things that people, you know, overthink about. Now, I didn't come up with this list entirely by myself because I didn't want to overthink about it, but let me just give you some of them. One of the things that people often or commonly overthink about is how to get out of a plan you don't want to go to. Now, how many times has that happened to you guys? You know, you make plans, you agree to go somewhere in haste. You know, they invite you somewhere to eat or to a party, and you say, yeah, I'll be there. But then as soon as they leave, you kind of overthink about it, and you're like, I don't really want to go, actually. But you don't know how to get out of it, right? And you start to overthink. I don't want to offend the person. And another thing that's common, you know, what clothes to wear to a particular occasion. If you're making the right financial choices, you know, how to start a conversation with someone you're interested in. Now, this is something that could apply to all the guys that are at the Red Hot right now. You know, they overthink those things, believe it or not. I heard all about it this week. Now, you know, the wording of a text or WhatsApp message from a friend. And I looked this up. You know, they say that somebody, you know, when they overthink on what to reply to somebody, usually it takes them like 8 minutes to reply. Now, you know, today it's so easy that all you have to do really is just give it a thumbs up and you're done. You don't have to think about it anymore. Now, another thing is like what your friends think of you, how much you spend on a gift, why your friend never called you back. You know, I often wonder that. What to wear on a date, how to decorate a room, you know, what color should it be? You know, we spend more time thinking of what color to paint this wall than it actually lasted, honestly. But then also, if you're in the right profession, career, how to break up with somebody. You know, some people overthink that sometimes. What to order from the menu when out for a meal. I feel like that applies more to women. But, you know, as guys, we usually just go to a restaurant, we find something we like, and we order it all the time. So, let me see. Why someone didn't pick up your call. If you seem appreciative enough when you receive the gift, what to message a love interest, what to cook for dinner, what food to buy at the grocery store, what to watch on Netflix. I don't know. That's not that hard, right? Because there's only filth on Netflix now. But when to first say I love you to someone, right? Who said it first? No, I'm just kidding. What the boss email meant, why your boss gave you why the boss gave your colleague a praise and not you. You know, these are all things people overthink about. Here's just a couple of more. It says, what your excuse is for being late. Now, the best excuse or the way that you avoid this or overthinking is by being on time. Now, how much to tip in a restaurant? Nowadays, you just flip the screen on us. And it says, who to go on a date with? Why someone canceled a meeting? And then last of all, you know, if you should have seconds at dinner. If you should have seconds at dinner. Now go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now I gave you that list because those are common things that are common, you know, to us that we overthink. And I'm sure a lot of us, you know, we probably thought of these things at one point. You know, what to wear to church. Should I go to that church? You know, am I going to be accepted at church? Am I going to have friends? You know, these are things that people commonly think about. But look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in thy evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. And here we see somebody, you know, the Bible's telling us, don't observe, you know, the wind. Because then it's going to cause, you know, people to make decisions based on how they feel or the things, you know, the weather outside. You know, you think about people that avoid going places because it's too hot, it's too cold, or debating whether or not they're going to go to work because they're tired, or, you know, they slept late. These are all things that people overthink over, and because of that, it keeps them from actually doing what they need to be doing. Now, just to give you a practical verse to follow up with this, go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Just to show you how that applies. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, the Bible says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in the harvest and have nothing. And so we see this actually happened to this person where they observed, you know, the wind and he didn't sow. And as a result, what happened? He ended up having to beg, right? Because he was poor. He had nothing. He refused to work because of the circumstances. And he was probably overthinking, you know, whether or not he should go work. And at the end of the day, he didn't. And for that reason, you know, the Bible says that he's begging the harvest and he has nothing. Now go to Psalms 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now let me give you some reasons why people overthink. Because this is a problem today. And I'm sure many of us, you know, at one point, you know, we struggle with this, with this matter of overthinking and just, you know, being paralyzed when it comes to responsibilities. But some of the reasons why people overthink is because they want to feel in control. You know, they want to feel like they can actually, you know, change the outcome of certain things. And the way that they do this is, you know, they think of every possible scenario, every possible outcome. You know, what's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? What's the outcome of every single scenario? And then they make a decision based on that. And by doing that, you know, they actually feel that like they're in control of this situation. Now go to Psalm 37, if you're there, we're looking at verse number 23. The Bible says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. You know, instead of like thinking of the worst case scenario or thinking of the best case scenario and just trying to control everything, we need to trust in the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 3, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So instead of trying to control every single circumstances, you got to realize this. You know, in life, a lot of times, you know, it throws us a curveball, right? And we're not ready for it. And at times we do feel helpless. You know, we're at our wit's end. We don't know what to do. And at that point, instead of stressing about it, having anxiety, you know, you should pray. And then you should trust in the Lord instead of overthinking it. It's just stressing on something that you don't have control over. Now, another reason why people are overthinking today is because they're perfectionists, right? They want every single thing that they do to come out perfect. And you got to know this, you know, nothing that we do in this life is ever going to be what we call perfect. You know, there's always room for error. We try our best, right? That's not to say, you know, we do a poor job at what we do, but we try our best, you know, and, you know, we shouldn't stress whether or not it's perfect or you know, however it comes out. You know, nothing wrong with wanting things to be perfect, but just realize that, you know, that's pretty much impossible. Now, go to Psalm chapter 4. Just to illustrate this, I used to do construction before, HVAC just to be specific, and we used to hang a spiral duct. You know, you kind of see it at Starbucks or Chipotle, those spiral ducts that, you know, for the air conditioning. And a lot of times if we're doing work where there's like ceiling tile, it does matter how you put it. Obviously, you don't want it falling down, but, you know, you do your best. But when it's exposed, when people are going to be looking at it and, you know, it's just out in the open, you try even harder to make it look as perfect as you can. And sometimes, you know, people at work, they would just stress about it too much where there's really not much more you can do about it. You know, you try to make it as straight as possible. You try to level it as much as you can. But some people would over-fixate on that. And I just remember one time I was working with somebody and we would hang the spiral duct. And you would always make sure that it's leveled by putting, you know, the level, right? And this guy would put the level and then he'll take out a second level just to confirm with this level that it was actually straight. And then one time I was in charge of, like, hanging the duct and making sure that, you know, it was in a straight line. And he was at the other side just looking at it, trying to see. He's like, oh, it's still a little crooked. And I had already moved it, and I thought it was, like, straight. There's, like, you measure it from the wall. You do all these things, right? There's all these ways to find out whether or not it's straight. But he was just overstressing because he was a perfectionist. And then, I kid you not, you know, I wanted to test this to see really, like, if it was that crooked. So he told me to move it, and, like, I didn't even move it, right? I said I did. I lied. Not sure. But I said because I was tired of moving it already. So then I just left it as it was, and then he's like, all right, perfect. It's good. And I didn't even have to move it. So that's what I mean. People are like overstress about these things. They overthink it. And it was exactly in the same spot. And because he wanted to, for it to be perfect, you know, I didn't even have to do anything. He was just overthinking it at the end of the day. If you're there in Psalm 4, the Bible says in verse number 3, it says, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sit not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now, what the point I want to make with this verse is that a third reason why people often overthink is because they just assume that thinking is always the best thing to do. And what I mean by this, obviously you want to think, right? You want to make the right decisions. You don't want to be hasty in the decisions that you make. You don't want to be irrational. You don't want to make poor decisions based on emotion. But there's a point in time where you could just think too much. And here the Bible is saying, you know, it says commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You know, at the end of the day, I'm sure a lot of us, at the end of the day, you know, we just think about how the day went. You know, we're thankful for everything that the Lord allows us to do on that day. We probably make plans for the next day and just, you know, ask the Lord for guidance. But, you know, that's pretty much all we do, because at the end of the day, all we can do is just trust in the Lord. But there's people out there that, you know, to them, if they think and think and think, then they're going to make better decisions. And that's not always the case, because then you fall into the trap, which is overthinking. And then when you do that too much, you end up making the wrong decision. Now go to Proverbs chapter 15. And this is also what I don't mean about this, you know, where people think that thinking too much is the right thing to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, it says that the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now, here this verse, obviously, it's telling you that, you know, if a righteous person, he studies to answer. You know, he wants to have discernment to say the right thing at the right time. That's not what I'm talking about, having discernment. You know, there are people that overthink it, and instead of, like, studying to answer, trying to see what to say, how to say it, you know, they worry about what people are going to think. You know, they worry about how people are going to perceive it. And I think, you know, I don't know who it was, but I've heard even people say in this church, you know, that they kind of try to think of all the possible conversations that they're going to have and how they're going to answer that, right? That's just too much stress. You know, you don't need to do that. You just have to be normal, learn how to conversate. And I think a lot of times, you know, introverts, I'm an introvert myself, you know, we deal with this problem because we don't know how to, like, start a conversation sometimes, or you don't know how to, like, end a conversation. You, sometimes you just come off as rude because you don't know how to end it. You're just like, you just walk away. And that's happened a lot of times to me, you know. Or you're standing, you know, you're getting some water, right? You're an introvert, and you're just getting water. Somebody next to you, and you're just like, and you don't, it's the most awkward thing, right? But what's the problem with that? You're just overthinking it, right? There's nothing wrong with just turning around and just saying, hey, how's it going? You know, what's the worst that could happen? They're just going to say, good in you, right? Like Brother David. But, you know, that's probably the most that's going to happen. But people often, you know, instead of just saying hi like a normal person, they overthink it, and they end up just being rude. Now, the fourth reason why people, I feel, are, you know, overthinking a lot of the time is because they hate confrontation. They hate confrontation. And most people don't like confrontation, especially introverts, in the sense that, you know, you don't really want to get out of your comfort zone. And people that often avoid, you know, confrontation, they avoid a lot of conflict at times. And they think by doing that, you know, it's going to go away. But the reality is this, if you avoid conflict, it just becomes a bigger problem at the end of the day. And the same effort that you put into avoiding the conflict, you know, you should put that effort into coming up with a solution. That's probably the better thing to do. Now, the more you avoid your problems, the less confidence you will have, you know, with your ability to actually deal with it. And I like being in this church because it has challenged me, you know, and I'm pretty sure it has challenged other people that consider themselves introverts to get out of your comfort zone. You know, being friends with, like, Pastor or with Brother Markles and Brother Maury, all these other people that are just extroverted, you know, they're very outgoing. They have no problem, you know, just talking to, you know, strangers and all that. It kind of helps us who are introverted get out of our comfort zone and do likewise. And as a Christian, you know, you don't really have that luxury in the Christian life to just be introverted and just avoid confrontation. Because a lot of the times, you know, being a Christian, you have to deal with problems, right? You have to deal with sin. You have to deal with personal, relational problems. And there's just no other way around it. And if you're a Christian, right, and we come to church, you're going to deal with other people. You know, we have visitors that come all the time. Instead of you just sitting, you know, in some corner and not talking to anybody, you should go out of your way and talk to them. These are things that people, you know, often avoid because they're overthinking it. They don't want to look dumb. They don't want to be perceived as, like, weird or anything. But you're actually being perceived that way because you're just sitting by yourself, right? So don't do that. Now, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So those are some reasons why I feel people often overthink. Now let me give you some areas where people overthink in the Christian life. And obviously there's more than just three, but tonight I just want to deal with three. And I believe that people, not only in this church, but just in the Christian life in general, often overthink when it comes to serving the Lord. You know, they stress too much about it and they make it more complicated than what it really has to. And here at this church, you know, we want to help every single person here serve the Lord in whatever capacity that they can. And obviously, you're not going to have to, you know, doesn't mean you have to be a pastor. Doesn't mean you have to, you know, be behind this pulpit or anything. But we want you to succeed as a Christian and serve the Lord in whatever capacity you can. You know, as a church, our goal would be for you to get saved, first of all, get baptized, and then learn how to preach the gospel. Because that's what Jesus wants, right? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, people who have made it a habit to avoid confrontation struggle with soul winning. And the reason for that is because at this church, you know, we do what's called confrontational soul winning. You know, we don't just go out there and hang a door hanger. We don't just stand in the corner of a street and just give out tracts. You know, we don't go to, you know, just whatever random street and just stand there with signs, you know, turn or burn, repent of your sins, you know, God hates fags. You know, I wear shirts like that, but, you know, I don't do that for soul winning. But, you know, a lot of times people struggle with soul winning because they don't like confrontation. And if you're part of our church, you know, our goal for you would be that you would become a soul winner. And there's no way around that. You know, if you're overthinking it, then you're going to worry too much. You know, what are people going to think about me? You know, what if I don't know the right verses? Or what if my soul winning presentation isn't perfect? You know, there's always room for growth. You shouldn't overthink it. And here's the thing, you know, oftentimes, you know, there's been a couple of people who are, you know, just nervous when it comes to soul winning because they're afraid of what their partner is going to say. But let me just say this, that, you know, no one's going to make fun of you for wanting to serve the Lord. You know, no one's going to make fun of you for wanting to, you know, preach the gospel. Now, here at this church, and I myself, you know, we like joking around. We like, you know, roasting people. We like, you know, just poking fun at each other as guys. I don't know if women do it, but, you know, we as guys, we like picking on each other, and that's all fun. But no one's going to make fun of you for going out there and wanting to serve the Lord. You know, your signing your partner at the door is not going to be there. You trying to present the gospel, they're just going to be like trying to hold their laughter when you're trying to, like, give the introduction. No. I've gone with many people here, you know, and we all started at one point as a signing partner. We learned how to give the intro. We learned how to give the bad news. And then progressively, you know, we learned the whole presentation. But no one's going to make fun of you for doing that. So you shouldn't overthink when it comes to soul winning, because at the end of the day, that's our goal for you as a church, that you learn how to give the gospel so that you can see people saved. Now, if you're there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look down at your Bibles at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as the good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And as a Christian, we do need to learn how to endure hardness. You know, too many people today are what we call soft. You know, they get offended very easily. And the Christian life, there's going to be trials, just like Brother Cody preached on this morning. You know, there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations. And we can't go, you know, about the Christian life just worry too much about what people may think or just overthink about all the problems. No, we need to endure hardness like a good soldier of Christ. And, you know, when you think about the military, I'm pretty sure soldiers don't overthink whether or not they have to, you know, shoot the enemy. Why? Because their life is in danger, right? The life of others are in danger. And as a Christian, you know, not only are the lives of others in danger because they're on their way to hell, if you're there overthinking it, you're never going to do anything and nothing's going to get done for the Lord. Now go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. You know, a lot of, when we worry too much about what people think, you know, that's actually called pride because you take yourself too seriously. And if you're worried constantly about what people are thinking about you, you're never going to do anything, like I said. And that's often related to pride. Now, on the point of, like, what I was making earlier, this isn't a sermon, but, like, about roasting each other. Also, you know, just like a side note, if you roast other people and they dish it out, learn how to take it, right? Don't be one of those guys that just wants to dish it out and then you get offended when they dish it back, right? You don't want to be that guy. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, what's another thing that people try to overthink? I'm saying they overthink it when it comes to serving the Lord. They overcomplicate it. You know, people overthink about coming to church. You know, does God want me to be in church? Of course. And the Bible says right there in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And so you shouldn't overthink when it comes to whether or not you should come to church. Obviously, you know, you should come three to thrive. If you can't, for whatever reason, because you got work or you're sick, you know, there's always things that come up. But your goal should be to always be in church. Now, as a single guy, as a single dude, you know, there's really nothing holding you back from coming to church. And I'm not saying your family holds you back, but as you get married, the more kids you have, you know, kids get sick. Your wife gets sick. Your wife gets pregnant. Things happen with the family. And sometimes, you know, it makes it even harder to come to church. That's why as a single guy, you should already purpose in your heart to always be in church. So when things get more difficult, you know, you don't have to struggle with that as much. You know, you can still make it to church. Even if your family stays behind because they're sick, you know, you should be in church as the father, as the husband. You know, it doesn't, when your family gets sick, that doesn't mean you're sick, right? Yeah. You know, when your kids get sick, you know, you don't get sick. If you're not sick, come to church. Amen. Don't overthink it. So go to James chapter 4, James chapter 4. Now, it's important to come to church because, you know, you hear preaching from the Word of God. Like this morning, you heard a sermon on murmuring. Maybe you're struggling with that. You come to church, you hear a sermon on murmuring, then you learn how to fix that. You come to church to sing praises to God. You come to church to fellowship with the brethren. You know, people like seeing you at church. And I'm sure everybody here has friends. Some of us, you know, we like it when we see so-and-so. And, you know, we don't like it when we see other people. But, you know, there are people here that are your friends that care for you and they want to see you. So come to church. Now, James chapter 4, look down at verse number 6. A second thing people overthink when it comes to the Christian life is getting right with God. They overthink it. They make it harder than it has to be. Now, in James chapter 4, look down at verse number 6, the Bible says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he say, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." And so a lot of people often overthink, you know, they make it seem like they don't know how to get right with God. And here the Bible makes it very clear that you draw nigh to God, and God's going to draw nigh to you. And all he requires of you is just to humble yourself, you know, ask for forgiveness, and God will draw nigh unto you. And the first step that you should take when it comes to getting right with God is confessing your sins. Confessing your sins. Go to 1 John chapter 1. It's really not that hard. You know, a lot of people stay out of church, or, you know, they don't get right with God because they're overthinking it. You know, the Bible says that all we have to do is humble ourselves. You could start by confessing your sins. And in 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So step one in getting right with God is just to confess your sins. You know, confess your sins, things that you've done wrong, things that you're aware of, things that you're not aware of. You know, just pray to God and ask him to forgive you. Now go to Psalm chapter 103, Psalm 103. In Psalm 103 and verse 8, the Bible says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions for us." So the God of this universe, you know, our Lord is merciful, and he will forgive you if you confess your sins. And the Bible says in Lamentations 3, I'll just read it to you, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So without a shadow of doubt, you know, if you confess your sins, you can get right with God. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. So as I'm saying, number two is that people often overthink when it comes, you know, to getting right with God. And the reason for that is because they dwell too much in mistakes that they've made in the past, you know, sins that they've committed. You know, they get this attitude, you know, what's the point of doing right? But if you were to confess your sins, you know, and God forgives you, just forget about it, you know, move on. And, you know, try your best not to do it again. You know, learn from your mistakes. There's no reason why you should dwell in your past, you know, things that you've done, you know, mistakes that you've made. Obviously, there's consequences to everything that you do. But at the end of the day, you know, if God forgave you, just move on. You know, what's the point in dwelling in your past or in previous sins? You know, if you've repented, you confess them, just move forward. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, sometimes people are not able to do, you know, live for God or do anything because they dwell too much in the past. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says in verse number 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so that's exactly what we should do when we have these bad, intrusive thoughts. You know, just cast it down. You know, bring it under the obedience of Christ. There's no reason why, you know, these intrusive thoughts should dwell in your mind. And a lot of times people, you know, are alone with their thoughts because they're not busy. They're not doing anything. They're not working. You know, they're idle. And a lot of times when people are idle, that's, you know, when their mind starts, you know, going and they start thinking on bad things. But if you're busy, you know, you don't even have time to think on things that are bad. Now go to Psalm 119, Psalm 119. You know, if you fall short, just get back up and move on. The Bible says, "For the just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Now go to Psalm 119, look down at verse number 60. The Bible says, "I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments." And the point I want to make with this verse is number 3, you know, often people overthink when it comes to doing right. You know, the last point was they overthink when it comes to getting right with God, but people also overthink when it comes to doing right or keeping God's commandments. And here we see David saying, I made haste and they laid not to keep thy commandments. And the best way to do this is when you hear a sermon on a certain topic, you know, just apply it right away. You know, if it's something that you're doing wrong that you can fix, that you can correct that day, just do it. Don't delay in keeping the commandments of God. Like I mentioned this morning, we heard a sermon on murmuring. If you're one that complains all the time, you know, just fix it. Don't delay to do it. Don't procrastinate. You know, I sure did fix that because I went to Chipotle today and I felt like murmuring, right? Because if you know me, you know, if you like eating protein, you want a certain amount of protein a day. And then when you see the servings, you're just like, oh, I'd rather not see, you know, how much they're putting in my plate. But I'm not going to murmur. I mean, I'm probably doing it right now, but I'm not going to murmur in front of them. And see, I got to get it right. But and speaking about that, kind of related, I went to the Red Hot Preaching Conference, and then I ate Subway for whatever reason. I think I was, like, super hungry. I know. But the thing at Subway, and I thought it was funny, you can't even see what they're serving you anymore. At that Subway, they put, like, this metal shield over it. And I was all like, damn, like, do you guys have a teriyaki? Oh, do you guys have rotisserie chicken? Because you can't even see what they have. I just thought it was funny. It's like this whole thing with Chipotle is just causing other restaurants to take extreme measures. But go to Daniel. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. So you shouldn't overthink when it comes to doing right or obeying the Lord. You know, we often overthink about this and we just make it harder than it has to be. You know, you hear a sermon on tattoos or you hear a sermon on fornication or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, learn to just obey it, learn to apply it. Like if you're thinking about getting a tattoo, don't overthink it and Pastor rips on it. Just don't do it. Right. And when people overthink about things like this, you know, whether or not they should obey the Lord, oftentimes what happens is they just end up justifying it. They say, well, I'm just going to do it anyways. You know, at the end of the day, it's just a Bible verse. You know, it's KJV. What's the big deal? But that's because people are often overthinking instead of just doing what's right away. You know, you hear about a sermon on fags. You know, don't overthink it. You know, I remember the first time I was going to click on Pastor Anderson's sermon. I was at work, and we were allowed to listen to music and whatnot. But I was at work, and then I saw the sermon title, you know, the truth about the sodomites. And I was like, dang, all right, let's see what this is. And I put it on. And then my view on that was forever changed, right? I did not hesitate, you know, to change all that. It was not that hard. You know, the Bible obviously is very clear on that. Now, you hear a sermon, you know, for example, on murmuring, like I said. You hear a sermon about being gross. I don't know if you guys heard that sermon from Pastor Shelley. You know, that was a great sermon. But these are things that, you know, sometimes a lot of us, it's new to us. You know, we've never heard preaching like this. We never heard preaching on certain topics. You know, the point I'm trying to make is that you shouldn't overthink the commandments of God because really they're pretty straightforward. A lot of times it's just black and white and you should learn just to obey it right away. Now, if you're there in the book of Daniel, look down at chapter 1, look down at verse number 8. One of the ways that you can do this is by purposing in your heart to do what's right. And in verse number 8, the Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So one of the best ways of avoiding overthinking is just to purpose in your heart. You know, if this comes up, I already know what the Bible says about that. Like if you're thinking about who to date, right? Well, what does the Bible say? For one, they should be saved, right? For two, you know, they should be in church. They should be a Baptist, right? These are things that you could already purpose in your heart, and you're not going to have to overthink it. You know, you don't have to... should I date that girl at work or should I date that girl at that liberal church? Should I go to, you know, that dating app? No, these are things, if you're already purposing your heart and know what the Bible says, the decisions on those kind of things are pretty easy to make. When it comes to, like I said, going to church, you know what the Bible says about going to church. You don't have to overthink it. You know, purposing your heart to do what's right. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now another thing you shouldn't overthink is this matter of, you know, getting married. You know, we have a lot of couples that are just, you know, dating. Nothing wrong with dating. Obviously, you have to date if you're going to get married. But oftentimes, people overthink when it comes to getting married. And I know, you know, a personal testimony in the old IFB, I don't know how it is now, but they would cause you to overthink when it came to getting married. You know, they would give you a list of all these things that you had to get done before getting married, this crazy amount of money that you had to have. and your savings just to get married. You know, they had to, you know, they almost made it seem like you're never going to prosper in life, right? And because of that, oftentimes, you know, they made a lot of people overthink and people ended up not getting married, right? Because it was just way too hard. But if you're dating, you know, you shouldn't have to overthink about getting married, because honestly, getting married is the best thing after getting saved. And I feel like that's true, you know, with everybody that's here that's married. You know, getting saved, obviously, is the most important thing. But after that, getting married is probably the best thing that has happened to myself. And when you're married, you know, you have somebody that you could grow old with. You have somebody that you could grow up with. You have somebody that you can, you know, roast. Not actually, but you have, like, I don't know, I like joking with my wife. But you could, you know, you have a friend, right? Now, the thing about getting married, you know, it's really not that hard. You only have to make enough. It's really not that hard. You know, a lot of times people often think, I don't know what's up with the single guys, but never mind. But it's really not that hard. And a lot of times people often overthink because, well, I need a better job in order to get married. All you really need is just a full-time job. And if you know how to work, you're going to be able to provide. And the thing is this, when you first get married, you don't need to make a whole lot of money. You just need to provide for your spouse. And then people often overthink and they put off marriage because they start thinking like, well, what about the kids? You know, what if I have, you know, two kids, three kids? How am I going to provide? But here's the thing, you know, God could bless you, right? Yeah. God could bless you with a promotion. God could bless you with a raise. You know, you don't need to overthink all these things that you're not even there yet, right? You're just you and your spouse. Why are you overthinking about how you're going to provide, you know, for kids when you don't even have kids? Why are you going to overthink about, you know, providing for X, Y, and Z? You know, you're not even there yet. Cross the bridge, you know, when you get there. But really, getting married, it's just as easy as saying I do. No, but, like, getting married shouldn't be that complicated. You know, don't overthink it. If you're dating, you know, the goal would be for you to get married, purpose in your heart to do right. And the reason I say this is because oftentimes, you know, if you don't plan on that, if you're overthinking, you know, you can fall into the sin of fornication. And then obviously you don't want to do that. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 7, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the sermon tonight, what I'm trying to get across is that don't overthink, you know, especially the basic things in life. But don't overthink these three things. You know, don't overthink it when it comes to serving the Lord. Don't overthink it when it comes to, you know, getting right with God. Don't overthink it when it comes to, you know, doing what's right. You know, you should learn to trust in the Lord. You should learn that, you know, God is in control. You know, God could change your life around just like that. You know, your life could be going south, and God could, you know, do a miracle in your life where it starts going in a better direction. You know, my goal for everybody here would be, you know, for you, first of all, not to overthink and not to make things more complicated than they should, but obviously to succeed in the Christian life as well. Now, let me give you some, just to finish, some practical things, what we can do to avoid overthinking. Obviously, we look to the Bible, but just very practical things that has helped me, and I'm sure other people practice this as well, is that when you start overthinking, you know, you got to pay attention to when it's actually happening. Because I'm pretty sure sometimes you're daydreaming, you're like on the road, you're just thinking and thinking. I don't know where you just catch yourself like, oh man, I don't even know where I'm at right now, right? But the point is, like, is this, like, if you're overthinking, just learn to pay attention when it happens and then stop doing it. You know, rather, instead of focusing on the problem, you know, focus on figuring out a solution. You know, we should learn how to be problem solvers. You know, it's easy to point out, you know, problems. It's easy to dwell on things that are going wrong. But it's better to use up that energy and think about a solution. And that's going to help you a lot. And then three, you know, just challenge your thoughts. You know, is this even biblical? Is this even right? You know, should I even be thinking? Is this even true? Right? Because a lot of times overthinking just causes you to think of, like, things that will probably never happen. So when you catch yourself doing that, you know, just think about it. Is this even, you know, possible? Is this even likely to happen? Most of the time, it's not. And then lastly, you know, do something else. The best thing to do when you're overthinking is just to walk away from the situation. You know, you got projects. In a practical example, you know, sometimes you're doing a project and you're just overthinking it and you're just making it hard and you're taking a really long time. And I find it that, you know, if you were just to walk away from the project and come back the next day, you know, get some sleep, then it becomes a lot easier. Like, your mind is a lot clearer and you're able to solve it. So I just want to challenge you with that. You know, just figure out what the problem is, what causes you to overthink. And once you do that, you know, focus on what the Bible says and just learn to trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be church in church this evening, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would Continue to help us, Lord, in the Christian life, and that we would be able to prosper, Lord, and do great works for you. I pray, Lord, for those that are still on the road, that are coming back from the Red Hot. I pray that you would protect them and that you keep them from any accident, Lord. Please bring Pastor also and his family safely. And I pray that you bless the fellowship after the service. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Please turn your songbooks to song number 5. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Song number 5. Song number 5. Sing with power on that first verse. When